Pull over, lean in. It's time for the Soft Shoulder Podcast. I am your host, Danette Relic of Radical Creative Sanctuary, inviting spaciousness for your mind and your heart. Welcome. I'm glad you're here. The Soft Shoulder is your time. Your time to slow down and fuel up on self-love support, so you can make the most of your gorgeous life. Join me here. Everyone needs a soft shoulder. Sweet listener, the Soft Shoulder Podcast is a year old, and I am so proud and so happy and so grateful that you are here, that we are here together, that it's been a full year of the soft shoulder, of pulling over, of leaning in, of having these self-love pep talks. It's been such a joy to create, and I am just, I just feel so happy to be celebrating anything, especially this and especially now. You may have noticed, if you're a regular listener and subscriber, if you're not, please subscribe so that you don't miss an episode. There's been a little pause. So we were working with the Seven Houses of Art break. I'm going to take a little break for this special anniversary episode and talk to you about the anniversary, but also it was my 18th wedding anniversary. Self-marriage wedding anniversary. I'm going to talk a little bit about that and talk a little bit about gifts and receiving and a coachy question that I just really love, especially when I turn the question around on myself. It's humbling and humorous at times. So houses 6 and 7 are coming of the Seven Houses of Heartbreak. If you're moving along, time is always your friend when you're healing. So if you were just like hanging on there waiting for house number 6, don't worry, it's coming. And this time is great because house 5, there's a lot of good stuff going on in house 5. But anyways, thank you so much for being here. I want to tell you where I was on June 7th this year. So it was hot in Toronto, not as hot as it could have been, but it was hot. It's been a mild spring. I've really been enjoying it. It was hot that day. It was sunny that day. I was definitely having a lot of brain fatigue that day, but I knew I wanted to do something special. And this was challenging this year because, you know, other years I've bought myself tickets to a show, or I spend the whole day doing all the things I love to do, which usually includes going to a coffee shop, doing some journaling, wandering around alone. I just love to wander in certain neighborhoods in this city and just have an adventure. Usually there's some kind of special meal, but I know that I have not had the capacity to have for the energy that that would require. So I was like, well, if this is a celebration of self-love, I need to bring self-love into the celebration and not plan something that's exhausting and difficult, because that's not the point. So I had, with my limited resources of energy, time, all the resources, time I had, money and energy were slightly limited. And, you know, I realized that I had this gift certificate that a friend had given me for a wonderful shop in Toronto. It's called Made You Look, and it's a jewelry store. But it's so much more than that. It's like a co-op. They rent spaces to different artists. So there's people in there that are making the jewelry, renting space. It's a community, and they do repairs, and it's a shop, and it's a beautiful building. And what's so cool is that you're looking at jewelry and objects that have been made by somebody who's right here, who might actually have made it just right feet away from where you're purchasing it. So it was such a beautiful place. It's definitely a place I love to support. It was such a beautiful gift. It was an extravagant thing I wouldn't normally do. And so I've had this gift certificate. So I thought, okay, that's one thing I can do. I'm not going to a show. I'm going to avoid crowds. I'm going to rest up and make sure I have energy for the bus. And it was a warm day. So I'm like really managing the brain fatigue, you know, like really taking good care of myself. And there was I also had a letter that I had written to myself the year before, a card. I never remember. I love this about these letter writing practices, my birthday letter ritual as well that you might have if you subscribe to my newsletter. I forget what I put in there. I had no idea what I was going to read, what I'd written to myself. So I went in, I got there. I made the jewelry thing the priority because I knew at any moment I might, like, energy's been so slim this year with the healing. So yeah, I had no time to dilly-dally. I'm like, go do the thing first. And then, you know, if you need to go home, great. Or if you have more time, then you can wander a little bit. But, you know, first things first. I found the most perfect pair of earrings. Very, very happy about those. It felt so wonderful. I felt so much love from the person who had given me the gift certificate like 2 years ago. And I was like, she's really with me today. It made me really happy. And then I was like, okay, I'm going to take this letter to myself and I'm going to go to a coffee shop and I'm going to find a place to read it and just sit down and write. And I'll just go home. So it's hot out. It's sunny out. I'm really like working. I've been getting really good at managing my energy better than before. And there was this perfect coffee place. I just had the sensual atmosphere that I like. It was warm. It was earthy. And there was no one in there. And I'm like, oh, thank God. Because, you know, part of this energy management is like crowds of people, levels of noise, blah, blah, blah. And I go in there. I was so happy. It was dark and like dim and shady and cool. And I was like, ah. Oh. And then I find out that it's all those things because they're closing in 5 minutes. I was like, no. So my blood sugar was dipping. I needed to get something soon. I couldn't go to that perfect cafe. So I just was like, well, you know what? I'm not going to, you know, run myself ragged. This is part of what I've learned. I need to make a decision as quick as possible, if possible. Otherwise, antics will ensue with the brain. So so the next coffee shop that I pass by is so not the first one. It's like there's like a billion chandeliers. It was like very white and floral and fancy. And it had like lots of pastries and it was just like little candles, some real candles and some of those like really impressive fake candles, like eat with the flickering wicks. Like I have mixed feelings about these things, but I have to say some of them are really beautifully designed. And anyways, I was like, I need to eat something. So I'm going in here. I'm just going to say yes. I just decided. So I go in there. I'm looking for a snack. It's got all this fancy pastry stuff that I'm not really interested in, but I knew I needed something nourishing. And I saw that they had a smoothie bowl on offer. And I was like, you know what? Great. I'll get a coffee. I'll get this smoothie bowl. So the smoothie bowl comes out. It's on a, like, they serve it on, it's like a, what are those things that you, it's like a cutting board, but with a handle, you know, like a paddle, but it's like marble. And the smoothie bowl was way too big. Like, I don't know. Like, it's just a lot of smoothie for one sitting. And there's like this, you know, this stripe of chia seeds and like, you know, pomegranates and then these special little white bowls so that I could add extra oats in. It was like really over the top. The smoothie bowl and the coffee cost me like over $18. And I was just like, are you kidding me right now? It was so funny, but I'm like, I've said yes. And then I had this great insight. I was like, you know, this is ridiculous. And I was kind of in an emergency situation. I was like, I need to sit down. I don't have the energy. I'm going to get lost. I'm going to really hurt myself if I don't just sit down. And it reminded me of times like when you're traveling and you're just like, I know I'm in the tourist neighborhood. I know that this is really overpriced, but if you need water, like, you pay for it. If you're at one of those concerts where they're selling water for $10, like, you pay for it, right? Because you're forced to. So I just decided that, like, instead of being really miserable on my self-marriage anniversary and grumbling about the cost of the smoothie bowl that I didn't really want, but it was my best option, the only person who's going to suffer is me, right? Like, imagine if you're out with your loved one, if you're in a relationship and you're out for an anniversary dinner and then like the other person is just like talking about how pricey the meal is. It's like, it's just ruining the vibe, right? So I'm like, Danette, I'm just gonna eat this. And because of the atmosphere, I was like, I'm gonna pretend I'm in a cafe in Paris where I would expect to pay that much money for like a coffee. And I would just be like, you know what, whatever, I'm in Paris. So that's just what's happening right now. That shift in perspective is like humorous and it works. You have to like really exercise your imagination. But like there are times in your life where you don't make the choices you would normally make because it's a special circumstance, right? Like traveling is just a good example of where people might splurge a little more because they're on a holiday. They'll order the dessert or they'll like, you know, I don't know, like do a special excursion that they might be able to do at home, but they don't think about it, right? Like there's so many amazing tourist activities in Toronto that I have not done because I live here, but I've always wanted to go on one of those like double-decker bus tours and, you know, why not? Anyhow, so there I was pretending to be in Paris in Toronto at this coffee shop, and I've got my gifted earrings there in the bag on the table. And I'm just, I want you to know that like, it's work for me too, you know, like it's, I've had these conversations with clients and with actually, it seems like conversations happen with me, with clients, with people online, with people in my life. The topics and themes seem to come up and like, be shared by a lot of people at once. And what's coming up and around a lot right now is receptivity and allowing yourself to receive, to feel the pleasure, to feel the joy, to just be in it without fixing it, without analyzing it, without compensating. And so even though I know that, you know, I share images and stories about, you know, celebrating myself in this wonderful way, I just want you to know that it feels silly to me often. Like it's an effort, you know, it's, there are definitely times where, especially now, way more than 18 years ago, way more than 5 years ago or 2 years ago, that I really do feel deeply like in my own receptivity and just like really deliciously loving the gift that is my life and that is myself. But it's not always like that. And it takes work and it takes practice to get there. So if you're new on the self-love journey and you're trying to take yourself out on a date and you just feel like it's like super awkward, it is awkward because dates are awkward. And there's an episode of The Soft Shoulder, specifically how to take yourself out on a date, that also acknowledges this. So there I am. And I opened up the card, so curious about what it would look like. It's this pink card. It has this great watercolor illustration of like a bear, and it says bay on it. And I'm like, oh, Danette, you're so cute. But I opened up the card. I won't read you the whole thing because it's private. But one of the lines towards the end says, you've just released episode one of The Soft Shoulder, a new beautiful beginning. I love you, Danette. When I read that, I think I said like out loud, was like, oh, like, it's been a year, you guys. This is so wonderful. And, you know, I'm just so, so grateful today. So much can happen in a year. So much has happened in this year for me. And it's a great reminder of how, you know, when we get impatient about what we did this week or today, a year, a lot can happen in a year, and it doesn't all happen at the same pace. Not every day is a perfectly like productive day or whatever that means. And like, it's like, my hands right now, they're kind of moving in and out like an accordion. I'm like, there's times of rest. There's times of like harvest. There's lots of things that can happen that need to happen at their own paces for all of the fruits of the year to be available, right? So it's just really nice to have that bird's eye perspective of time sometimes when we're thinking about a goal. We'll underestimate what we can do in a longer period of time. Oh, so much gratitude. And I want to take this moment to just say how incredibly grateful I am for you, For the early listeners, for those of you who have left reviews on iTunes or shared the podcast on social media or shared an episode with a friend that you thought would enjoy it, this helps others who need it find the soft shoulder. And it's meant so much to me to know that this podcast that I'm giving is a gift that is being received. This podcast has definitely been a highlight of a really challenging year. Thank you so much for being here. Your time is precious. I really appreciate you spending it here with me. And if you're just joining us, if you're new to the soft shoulder, welcome. You have a whole year's worth of episodes to catch up on. If you like what you're hearing today, great news, there's more. Isn't that exciting when you find something on Netflix, like a series that was out years ago, you missed it, and you know, like, there's a whole bunch more seasons, and you're like, ah, oh, this is so great. Maybe this is that for you. Maybe. I don't know. I like to think that it is. So this podcast is a real highlight of my year because a lot of my lights went pretty dim in the past year. After I had my concussion February of 2018, which led to healing from this traumatic brain injury, post-concussion syndrome, lots of different names, I guess, for this space. This everybody's healing from this is so different. Everyone's injury is so different. And mine, I guess, is too. So difficult. It's really difficult to sum it up. And, you know, last June, I didn't even really know how bad things were because I didn't even have access to whichever parts of my brain that could assess and process what was going on. Like, it's only now, all this this far out from the original injury, where I can even see, like, whoa, like, now with the hindsight, I can see what I was going through. It's like if you're driving through like a dust cloud, you don't really see what's happening. And then when you get out, you're like, oh, whoa, like, look what we just drove through, right? So I've been having a lot of experiences like that. And, you know, I actually, most of these podcast episodes, as you know, are off the cuff. I've got some notes, but it's just, you know, me and you. And I've set that intention intentionally because to make it accessible for me to produce, right? It was like I really needed to make this easy for me with the skills that I had. And so pretty much they're like unedited. I think I spaced out in one episode and just there was like a huge pile of silence. So I had to snip that together somehow. But most of it is just what you hear is what you get. The only episode that didn't make it to air was an episode I was trying to make about the concussion story. I've had a lot of people ask me about it. Certainly a lot of people reaching out who either have had their own concussion or a loved one who had a concussion within like the past year. And because I've been speaking about it, they thought of me. And I thought, you know, for my own self and for others, maybe it would be really great to just record all the things that I would say and all the things that I have learned so that when someone reaches out, I can save myself the energy, but also share and serve people by just having an episode that I can refer them to so that, you know, they can get what they need and I can do it one time. But I have to say, I tried and it was super challenging. I recorded it twice. I had a really strange experience recording it. And it's so difficult to explain what I even mean by that. But actually, there's a word that's a symptom of post-concussion syndrome that specifically talks about not being able to say what you're really feeling. It's happening right now. And it was definitely happening a lot while I was trying to record the podcast. It was a little overwhelming. I recorded it twice. I spent a lot of time and then I just deleted them. It was, I had this very strange reaction to that. So that's the only time that's happened. And it reminds me of, so I share that with you because I don't know if you have heard the expression, share from the scar, not the wound. And, you know, that's like a comment on vulnerability and authenticity and boundaries, right? So like you might have something that's very personal to you and then you might be encouraged by being like, well, I want to be authentic and I want to share my story. And you might get on Instagram on like, you know, like a wave of like bravery and you're just like, I got to share my story. But if you have not healed it, if you have not done the work to feel like safe enough in yourself to share that, basically how you can tell is if nobody responds to the thing you're sharing, are you going to be okay? Or are you sharing that in part to be taken care of by the audience, right? Like if you have a blog post or an Instagram share or something about some kind of trauma that you've gone through or something that you're really sensitive about, are you checking it every 2 minutes to make sure people like it? If they don't like it, are you like feeling really untethered and vulnerable? Yeah, like how much weight is in the response? Because that's a good way to tell if you're maybe sharing from the wound and not the scar, right? It's not that you should never share these things, but sort of ask yourself, like, who deserves to hear it, right? Who has earned, and I don't mean deserving, I mean like who has earned that honor of your story, right? So I guess with the healing, with the brain healing, it's obviously it's still happening and ongoing and changing. There's days where I feel like I can talk more about it. I guess that particular day, or I don't know, I just gave myself permission to be like, you know what, shelve that idea. That didn't go so well. Just put that on a shelf. Your time will come. So that's fine. But yes, but that's another way of loving yourself, right? Is like deciding how to protect yourself and your stories and your own healing. I know that Brené Brown says she doesn't write about things. She shares a lot of herself in her work, all her many books about vulnerability and courage, but not the things that she's still working through. It's like she honors those things with, you know, in the space of like a therapist or trusted people before she'll put them in an interview forum or like in a public space, right? One thing I can absolutely talk about and tell you about my ongoing recovery is that it has been a profound boot camp of mindfulness and a powerful restoration, revitalization, reawakening of my intuition, my relationship with intuition. So the mindfulness part, I was in this 6-week program, Love Your Brain yoga program, that is just fantastic program for people who are recovering from traumatic brain injuries. And someone in that class made that we were talking about mindfulness, and someone in our class mentioned that she just sort of feels like she's forced into mindfulness, like there is no other option. And I really laughed because I just, I can really relate to that. Like there's just this, there really is, this is like, I know this and I've known this intellectually and I've had moments where I get it, but never has it been so in my face than this past year of just being very clear that this moment is all that's real. And this moment is all that we have. My experiences, my symptoms changing so constantly, like there's no way to be controlling it, and overthinking it is just makes it worse. So it's just have to be here now. Just have to be here now. It's a wonderful gift. Yeah, definitely something where it's like, you know, it's sort of like tough love, lovingly forced into this present moment. The woman who I work with for neurofeedback asked me a great question. I went in one day worried and about certain things that I had left undone, certain things I wanted to do, people I hadn't called back, just things I was very stressed about as I was trying to manage my energy. And, you know, there's always more coming in. I think even for, you know, if you're like in the prime of your wellness, there's always like more coming in than you can actually do. You have to make choices. And certainly when you have any kind of illness or situation where your energy has been severely limited, it's just like, you just know that like, you know, not everything is getting done that day. And so it's just a constant decision about, you know, which things are, and this constant practice of acceptance of which things are not going to get done that day. And so I was like worried about a few things. I was saying this to my neurofeedback person, and she just asked, is it at your door? And I was like, oh, no, actually. And she just shrugged. And I'm like, oh, yeah, like I only have to deal with the things that are on my doorstep. I don't have to like go back and figure out all these things and pick up all the loose threads. I have absolutely no energy for loose threads of the past. It's just really coming back to that mindfulness, right? Thank you for hanging out with me, by the way, through all of this, this winding road and like how I've decided to, I mean, how I'm showing up in the podcast is just as real as I can be. And I know that, you know, this may not be the like 15-minute, 5-bullet-point pep talk that some other people enjoy, but I like to imagine that those of you who are listening appreciate and understand and also can maybe make room in your life for things that are not so tidy, not so bullet-pointed. And, you know, that's what the soft shoulder was designed for, right? It's like, let's just pull over. Like, we just check in here. Like, this isn't about perfection. So I just felt a wave, another wave of gratitude for you guys. So yes. So working with healing this year, you know, there's been many brain functions, thinking functions that I either had like zero or limited access to in various combinations any given hour, any given day. Working with this, so I've also been like, in quotes, presented with the opportunity to learn about trauma and my nervous system. It's been crucial to learn about these things, a matter of survival to release thoughts, activities, relationships that were causing harm to my healing. And this has been a painful, liberating, and humbling and beautiful experience. So, and it's not just about releasing things that are harmful. Trust me, this has been the year of dropped balls. Like, I have dropped enough balls to fill a ball pit at Chuck E. Cheese, and I'm just swimming in them. And at some point, you're just like, you know, I'm never picking these up. Like, it's just not going to happen. And some of those balls I loved so much, you know, like it's not just like, oh, great, I'm, you know, taking out what doesn't work and keeping the things that do. It's like there's so many things that I love that I have not been able to hold. That is part of this as well. So what's emerged? Oh, my God, I'm having this hilarious image of like, what's emerged from the ball pit, like it's like the Loch Ness Monster, like rising from a ball pit, is this revival of intuition, right? So guiding my healing path, I've needed to trust my intuition. This isn't like, there's so much information out there. There's so much conflicting information out there. Also, there's a lack of information out there, at least from a lot of medical professionals, that I have seen and that I've heard through fellow survivors. So it's like, you know, I don't have the brain space to make this a project and to decide and to weigh in all the pros and cons. That's precisely something that was very difficult. And I've had to go with my intuition. Who I'm working with, does it feel right? Do I feel safe? Because of the nervous system situation, safety is first and foremost. Like feeling safe and calm around the people who are going to help me is crucial, right? So there's no, you know, top 10 blog post about who's going to be right for me. That's something that I had to look into myself and find. It's been like the guiding compass. It's not new, but it's been isolated in a way because so much else, all these other tools have fallen away, right? So it's like, okay, intuition, let's do this. Guiding the healing path, trusting my own experience of this. And, you know, it's renewed and almost like demanded faith, this whole experience this year. So, you know, I'm talking a lot specifically about, you know, brain healing, but this is also just about my relationship to myself, right? Like, what is my relationship with intuition, if not a relationship with myself? You can imagine how this year might have been challenging the vows of my self-marriage, right? Just as years of your life when things are whew, they're really hitting the fan and things are falling apart. And, you know, there's a lot coming at you from life. It's that is, you know, is it easier to love yourself when things are going well? You know, how do I stand by my beloved self during such a challenge, during any challenge, a health challenge, relationship challenge, money, job challenges? You know, how does one bring themselves back over and over again to a place of safety and compassion, of understanding and hope? One thing I've been thinking about a lot lately is how, you know, that vow in sickness and in health, how many people say that vow at a wedding ceremony, and how many of those people really think about what that means, what that might mean, what might be asked of them, and are they willing to do that? What are they actually talking about? This isn't just like, oh, if you get a cold, I'll make soup. Like, this can really be a lot bigger than that. Hopefully not for you, but it can, right? And so what does that mean in terms of the relationship? What might it take for love when life takes a turn? Whew. 18 years of self-marriage has been extraordinary, you know, and this year has only shown me with more rich color what a gift it is to make this commitment to oneself. You know, this is 18 years not of, you know, a perfect confident self-love, not of like, you know, chia bowls or smoothie bowls and imagining I'm in Paris and buying myself some earrings, right? Like, this is not 18 years of bliss, of, you know, all answered questions and continuous clarity. No, not at all. 18 years of choosing to return to this relationship above all else when life takes its turns. It's 18 years of choosing to return to this relationship. Choosing to return to this relationship means I have strayed from this relationship, right? You can't keep coming home if you never leave home. So this is sort of like when people talk about work-life balance, and, you know, that doesn't mean you're staying still. If you've ever been on one of those, like, you know, you're sitting on, like, on a ball or an exercise ball, you're moving around a lot to try to balance on it, you have to constantly be in motion. You're always adjusting to find that center and to move around that center as close to the center as you can, which means you're always moving away from it in little, you know, little motions or sometimes big motions, and then you need to return. So 18 years of self-marriage is showing me the amount of times it has been required for me to return. And this year in particular with, you know, my like physical and mental health in a big way, in a new way. And I know that there will be new, interesting ways that my relationship will be challenged and strengthened as it has been this year, again in the future. It has been a gift to say that I can make a new choice today, again, that I can say yes to check in, to recommit to loving myself more every single day. Every day to say, I do, even if I don't. To love myself even when I feel unlovable. This has been a gift, permission to love imperfectly. The gift of a lifelong practice of loving and of seeing myself through the eyes of lover, to be both the lover and the beloved. In good times and bad, in sickness and in health. Many, many gifts come from this relationship. And speaking of gifts, I'm going to tell you about two things here that have come up. So receiving and hoarding. All right. So the first note about receiving gifts, well, I guess the very first note was the earrings. Thank you so much, friend, who gave me that wonderful gift certificate. That was really beautiful. So it was allowing myself to receive help in the first place that made this whole podcast possible. I needed a lot of help at that time. And I couldn't imagine doing something new and challenging, even when the most basic tasks of writing and reading were either challenging or unavailable to me. Right? We all have gifts to give, and we want to give them. When you allow someone to give to you, you are giving them the experience of generosity, of feeling like they have something worth offering. And that makes a difference for someone else. We all have different gifts to give. You might think it's no big deal to make someone a playlist or to brainstorm ideas or to bake a cake or to design a budget because, well, it's easy for you to do. But for others, this small thing could make a huge difference in their lives. So what was easy for you might seem impossible for someone else, a barrier that stops them from riding a wave of momentum. This episode, this podcast, is brought to you by TechCoven.com. If you've been listening, you have heard me talk about Allison Tarr's wonderful offerings, but have you been to the site? Do that now. Head over to TechCoven.com and treat yourself to a tarot reading. Allison has a way of seeing that you can't see from where you are, and that is the beauty of a multifaceted perspective on the questions that you just can't seem to shake. What area of your life would you like a new window into? Ask Allison. She will help you. She has helped me in more ways than I can count. Thank you, Allison. And now let's talk about my gift certificate and this strange little habit that I noticed. Because while in some areas I'm totally great at receiving, there's this one area that was just a little out of groove, right? So there's this coachy question. Well, there's a statement first. How we do anything is how we do everything. Have you heard of this before? The idea being like, you know, that you can find insight into much bigger patterns and belief systems and behaviors by just looking at something like how you eat a piece of cake or... Yeah, I remember people asking you that. Someone ever asked you that question where it's like, do you eat the cake first and save the icing? Or do you eat them in equal amounts? Or like, do you eat the icing first and then the cake? Of course, I'm sure I was a child when someone was talking about this as a method of like cracking the code of some personality. The assumptions being made here was that we all preferred the icing. So the idea was like, do you start with the good stuff or do you leave it for a reward or does it half and half? Like, Is that your approach to life, right? So that's an example of like how we do anything is how we do everything. You know, so aside from the cake, the simplified cake method, but like if you, let's say you make you have a habit of not ordering the latte that you want when you go to a coffee shop, you just order what's cheapest. So then how you would use that question is like, where else in your life are you settling for less? Or where else are you giving up what you really want? Let's say you use dull tools for far too long without sharpening them, even though it's like totally easy to sharpen them and it would be a game changer. But for some reason, you just keep on using the dull blades, right? The question here is, where else in your life are you keeping yourself at an unnecessary disadvantage? Where else are you resisting the resources that will give you an edge, right? Yeah, so that's just an example. So in my case, this is a coachy question that it is very powerful, but it's also like a fun question to get a bit silly with. Anyhow, in my case, I had these gift certificates, right? We started this with a story about how I had this gift certificate from a friend that's like over 2 years old. And here I am using it now. This was not the only gift certificate sitting around waiting for a rainy day. I had so many of them, from birthdays, from clients, from students, from holidays, like for years, everything from like, you know, one free cold press juice or like a special, like a tea or something, to extravagant gifts like custom made lipstick, art supplies, yoga classes, books, jewelry, right? So I, here it was. Here I had all these amazing, special, perfect for me gift certificates. Amazing, special, joy-inducing gift certificates. And where were these gift certificates? They were in an amazing, special box I decorated to keep them in. You know, where they're supposed to be. So this amazing, special box that keeps these gift certificates, these joy-inducing experiences and gifts and treasures, it was in a small, dark place on a shelf in my apartment. It doesn't matter how much I tart that box up. These gift certificates had a life to live, right? Like, they had things they wanted to do. They had dreams. They had a purpose. And they were sitting in a box. I'm embarrassed to say, I'm going to tell you this, some of these gift certificates never got used. And some of the businesses went out of business before I could use the gift certificate. Like, that is terrible. This is like, what is happening? It really makes me laugh because it's just, it was shocking when I realized like how long I had just been so used to doing this, right? And I knew once I started to notice this, I knew that this was a quirk. I'm like, okay, this is interesting. Like, I have a lot of gift certificates all bundled up here in this box. And this is definitely tied to a paradigm, right? This is definitely tied to a series of beliefs and behaviors that were connected to scarcity, right? So some of the thoughts, I wonder how many of you have the same thing where you hoard things or save things. You know, this is, I think this is a branch off the tree of the whole like fine china metaphor. Like, people will be like, why do we only, I actually don't even know anyone who has a separate set of fine china. But anyways, like, why are we not eating off of them every day? You know, like, why are we saving good dishes for like one meal a year, right? Every day is a special occasion. Why aren't we using these things now? So I think this is that kind of rainy day scenario. And the thoughts are, for me anyway, were probably along the lines of like, well, you know, I have all these gifts and, you know, what if I really need them one day more than I need them today? If I use them now, you know, I'll have nothing to look forward to maybe. At least if I have these, when things get really bad, if some kind of like horrible thing happens and I'm completely broke, then I'll have this way to make myself feel human and hopeful again. Like, I'll still be able to, like, you know, go out and buy a book or whatever. I don't know. Anyway, none of these things are logical, right? Paradigms are silly and weird, but they're powerful, right? So I was able to look at it and see for what it was. And I joked to a friend, I was like, yep, I like hoard my gift certificates. do you do this? Please get in touch if you do. So I turned that classic coachy question to my own self. I turned it on me and asked, where else in your life are you hoarding your gifts? And I was like, oh my God. Like, I love this shit so much. Like, when you ask a question, these questions that I also enjoy laughing at. But man, like, they can just unearth something that is this aha, these lights go on. It's like, oh my gosh, what's happening? Right. So like, I knew I had things to say. This podcast was a dream from years ago. I had people telling me I should do a podcast, asking me if I'm going to do a podcast, like people coming up and sending emails and telling me this. And it was years before I started the podcast, right? Like, that is an example of one way I was hoarding my gifts. I was having all of my ideas, my voice, this time, this thing that I've been sharing with you guys now for a year. I was just hanging on to it. It was here in a special decorated box in my heart. But what good is it in there? Right? So if you're relating it all to this, this is also not the time to beat yourself up for not sharing them sooner. It's a very easy place to go, right? I could very easily say like, what took me so long? Like, no, right? I'm doing it now. I'm celebrating it now. This is wonderful, right? And energy management is a real thing. So if you, dear listener, if you can relate to hoarding gifts, are you also keeping gifts, the gifts of yourself, in a special little box that no one else can enjoy. This might even be the gift of your time, right? Your company. If you can sing, if you enjoy singing, do you ever let people hear you? If you like to write, do you ever share your words? If you are passionate about anything, anything at all, do you share that passion? The energy of your passion is a gift. It's exciting to watch people get lit up about something. I love that. Do you have a fantastic idea? A business idea, a product idea, an art installation idea, an idea for, like, I don't know, an item of clothing or something that you just haven't bothered to cultivate, to speak out loud or to sketch out? Do you have a business that could serve people, help people, make people happy, employ people? Do you have a gift of listening that you could give to someone who just really needs an ear? You know, so many people they're lonely and they're filled with stories and for, you know, all of life's turns, don't have people around them to listen to their stories. You know what a gift that is? Do you have a perspective of hope that stays silent at this time when, like, any little smidgen of hope goes such a long way? Can you make people laugh? And you just don't. You know, I don't know about you, but, like, there are certain times where, you know, I just need a good laugh. And sometimes it's just like a meme on Instagram or something that, like, kills me. Like, it just has me howling. It brings me so much joy. And then I get to send it to a friend and, you know, I know that they're going to love it. And that brings me joy. Like, I don't know who the person, a lot of these things are, you know, have been made and reproduced so many times. I'm not always sure who even made it in the first place, but somebody did, right? Is that something that you're good at? You never know, also, like, where the gift isn't always going to be so obvious, like where you hand it to someone and they unwrap it and they look at you and say thank you. Like, sometimes you're receiving gifts that have traveled distances, like monarch butterflies, right? You have gifts. You do. The best gift that you can give to the world is to be all of your gorgeous self. I really believe this. Come alive. Develop your talents. Enjoy what you enjoy. Show that enjoyment. Speaking of enjoyment, so the basketball fans, the Toronto Raptors, made history recently, winning the NBA championship, which was a first for the whole country. And there were big celebrations going on in this city of Toronto, which is, of course, a nightmare for anybody with post-concussion syndrome and other things. I was far away from the crowds, but I got to see footage of it in my own time. And of course, when there's any, like, big major win like this, you'll hear talk about the bandwagon, right? So who was a real fan, quote unquote, and who jumped on the bandwagon? The bandwagon get a really bad reputation. Like, I don't see what's so wrong with the bandwagon, right? Someone I know said something I loved. Yes, jump on the bandwagon. There's plenty of room and the more the merrier. And I was like, this is so refreshing than, like, hearing people, you know, bitch and moan about, like, you know, like, where were you when they were losing or whatever, right? that's not helping. That's not helpful. Someone else I know said, in the context of goal setting, we were talking about goal setting, and they were looking at this, and I said, yeah, you know, and I talked about, like, wow, like, the Raptors meeting this goal. And, you know, they were questioning whether the mobs of people that were, you know, celebrating downtown and crowding I always do this. I confuse sporting events with theater events. I was like, it's not a theater. And the practices are not rehearsals, but I always say a hockey rehearsal for some reason. Anyhow, you know what I mean? All the people, all the people who were there, you know, and this friend pointed out that, like, well, but those people weren't creating anything. Like, they didn't play basketball. They didn't set goals. They weren't working for years towards this. It's not actually a goal that they took action on. So, was this a good use of their time and energy? Was this something that they could take pride in, for example? And this had me really thinking about how much of a gift fandom is. Like, so what would have happened if the Raptors had won and no one cared except, whatever, the handful of supposedly qualified true fans? What if they won and, like, and no one really cheered and no one jumped on the bandwagon to celebrate and share in this nationwide joy, right? Like, the bigger it got, like, the vibes were clearly off the hook in the city. And in many ways, they still are. Many Torontonians spoke about the pride that they felt seeing how their city comes together in times like this. And it meant so much to so many beyond the players, the franchise, or the quote-unquote true fans, you know? So I don't know about you, but when I publish my first book, I don't only want the people who have been following my work for years to buy it and read it. Like, I don't, if I do something really great and worth celebrating, I don't just want my mom and dad to be there because they were there for the beginning. Like, it's ridiculous to think about things that way. So let it be known that my bandwagon is infinite and you are all invited. I have absolutely no problem with bandwagons being filled up, like, at for like whatever I create and put in the world. Come and celebrate what you love. Show your appreciation. And when I say don't hoard your gifts, it's not just about building your own personal empire. It's not just about a championship or like a book launch. Your fandom is a gift. Your appreciation and enthusiasm fuels others in creating more life, more joy, more dreams. One very simple way you can do this right now is by leaving a quick review of The Soft Shoulder on iTunes. Every 5-star review fills me up with gratitude, I have to tell you. And the written ones, they really make my heart sing. Even just one sentence about what you love, what you enjoy about this experience, it makes waves for me and for all who gather here at The Soft Shoulder. You, dear listener, you are a gift. Just you being you, expressing more of who you are, naming it, feeling it, and owning it. Your gifts won't look like everyone else's because they are yours, and you are the only one who can give these gifts. And you give them by simply being who you are. You are someone worth loving. It all starts with you. Thank you so much for celebrating with me here today. Thank you so much for trying on receiving in your life. I think the more people who do this, the whole world becomes a better place. I love seeing it. I love hearing about it. Yes, open up and allow the gifts coming to you. They want to. Thank you so much for receiving. Thank you so much for considering which gifts of yours you might be hoarding. Thank you for listening. And may you enjoy the gift of being more of who you are in this world. We'll talk to you soon.